This is Cyber Defense Radio with your host and cybersecurity expert, Gary Malefsky. Gary brings to you another globally recognized cybersecurity executive in the hot seat today.
Sitting in my hot seat today is a very special guest. It's Joe McComb, and Joe is the Chief Information Security Officer at Hall & Hart, one of the larger law firms in the United States, with multi-practice areas that include intellectual property, working, helping out banks and healthcare providers in all different industries, which means he's got a lot of data to protect, don't you, Joe?
I really do. It's a full-time job.
Full-time job. And you're not kidding. What kinds of exploits have you been seeing lately, and have they ever been successful against your firm?
So we've been really careful. When I came to the firm about a year ago, I set up an awareness program and basically told the lawyers to report anything that they saw. And one of the things that happened out of that is we began seeing some scams that hadn't been reported before to us. It's something the lawyers just deleted before in the past. And what they were like business solicitation scams. So what we'd see is it would be targeted to like the intellectual property team. And they'd say, we need an intellectual property lawyer and we're working on blah, 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 blah. And they would actually go through and they would construct an entire website from there. And they'd actually rip that website off of somebody else's site. So, you know, they'd scraped it off of somebody else's site. They'd set up their own domain. And as we went through those, we'd realize, well, the domain was set up, you know, a couple months ago. The business space that they're, say they're operating out of, you know, it's either a virtual space, the post boxes, et cetera, or something similar. And as we began to investigate the scams, we realized that what they were trying to get at was some kind of wire transfer fraud. And lawyers are really good about, you know, managing risk. And so they began reporting these things. And we saw it in several different areas. We saw it in real estate law. You know, they'd say, we want a real estate lawyer to work on this property in Wyoming or something like that. Intellectual property, we saw it in commercial litigation. They'd say, we have this litigation problem. And we want you to look at X. And in each time we'd go back and find a bunch of red flags and then go from there. And really setting up that threat intelligence program, you know, helped us see a lot of scams that we didn't see before.
So Joe, that's pretty cool and important. You've asked people who normally aren't in cybersecurity in the company, their lawyers, to be a part of your team in a way, to actually worry about issues and share those issues that they think might affect the business. And so they're trying to help you have the business have really good cyber hygiene.
Yeah, that's correct. And it's helped make my job much easier. So all these scams, until I started asking to just report everything, we wouldn't have seen any of these. And there's a lot of other scams that we've seen out of that. You know, we've seen like a client get compromised, we'll see that there are attempts to do what's called credential phishing into our environment. They'll send us, hey, here's some documents. You know, you need to go to this special website, enter your O365 credentials, and you can get to those. And so the lawyers will also send those to us, and we'll investigate them and say, well, looks like they've set this up on a fake O365 site. We've seen attempts at people sending ransomware and other malware into our environment, and that's got caught also. Again, because the lawyers were looking at it and said, well, I wasn't expecting this particular thing from a client. We can usually trace those back to that either a client or a third party or somebody like that has been compromised.
Now, the first one you talked about, they go through a lot of efforts, you know, fake sprockets, Inc. We make sprockets. We want to patent our sprockets. And you visit the website and it looks real. And all these things look real. And then they keep pushing their way into hiring your IP lawyer, for example, to work on the sprocket patent. And then they want that lawyer to give some bank information for the alleged inbound wire to Hall & Hart to, you know, cover the retainer.
That's correct. And fortunately, it hasn't gotten that far for us. We've caught all these scams in the initial business solicitation. Our attorneys are really good about if they get a cold call and it just seems off, to actually, you know, report it to the security team, or we have another team called loss prevention that will also look at it. And having them reporting that has really just changed that, you know, battlefield and helped us in terms of our threat intelligence.
So most viewers and listeners can learn one really cool point from you already, which is get everybody involved in cybersecurity. And it's not just October Cybersecurity Awareness Month, it's every day be cybersecurity aware.
Yeah, that's correct. And then after all of these attacks come in, depending on the type of attack, that's something that's relatively a new trend. I'll use my team to go through and put together an awareness email, and then that gets sent out to the attorneys. And sometimes there's actually a conversation that I'll have with other attorneys after that. Sometimes I'll find out that they've seen something similar to that that they just deleted, or sometimes they're just fascinated by what's going on. And that's helped tremendously because it's gotten the interest generated.
Well, you know, law firms advertise the lawyers, their LinkedIn bios, everything about the firm, different departments. You know, this person works on IPOs, this person works on M&A, this person works on intellectual property. So you have a lot of public available knowledge. And so it sounds like the cyber criminals are taking advantage of that. And then you're saying there are other kinds of recent attacks. Are you seeing ransomware attacks on the law firm? Are you seeing business email compromise attacks? Are there others that are just standard, you know, they're trying every day and it hits every industry?
Yeah, so the standard attack that I see the most are the gift card scams where they're impersonating one of our upper level management and they're sending it to either like a legal assistant or somebody like that to say, hey, go buy some gift cards. Those are daily.
Wow.
If I were to look at stuff that occurs kind of on a weekly basis, there are attempts to change payroll, which go to HR, and HR is totally aware of those now. The business solicitation scams that I just talked about are pretty much weekly. There's a few other scams too. I don't see ransomware very often, which is fortunate. I think that's because it gets caught in our filters more than anything else.
Would you recommend more than one ransomware filter? For example, do you say we've got the edge, we've got all these endpoints, we've got some lawyers working from home lately post-COVID, or they're halfway in the office half the time and then they're back at home. Do you have different technologies to kind of filter that, or multiple layered approach?
Yeah, absolutely. A multiple layered approach. We start off with the email gateway that actually goes through another gateway. When it finally gets to the desktop, there's actually two different pieces. There's an EDR tool that's operating there, and there's also, you know, the standard Windows Defender, which is operating there. And then there's also the person, you know, layer, which, you know, we're sending out all this awareness. We have annual security training. And then every time we see a new kind of attack trend, we inoculate the population on that. For example, yesterday we saw a LinkedIn scam where we had somebody that was impersonating a lawyer in LinkedIn. And I sent that out to the lawyers today to say, this is a fake LinkedIn profile. If they attempt to link into you, don't connect with them. If you have, you know, go ahead and remove that connection now.
Wow, that's brilliant. It sounds like the, you know, a cyber crime, as you probably know, is bigger than drug crime. In 2018 or 2019, it became the biggest form of crime in the world. It used to be drug crime at 500 billion, I think, in 2018. And then cyber crime by 2019 was 600 billion and growing. And now we're into the over a trillion and heading to the multi-trillion. So they really want one thing. And it sounds like they want access to either intellectual property or some kind of personally identifiable information, and or finally the final step of the game is get at the bank accounts, get at the money.
That's correct. Yep. And that's pretty much the strategy.
And you're really pretty open-minded in when you hire people and how you train them. Can you tell us a little about that? I mean, you even are willing to train folks to be in your role in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the fact is that I needed to give back to the industry. You know, we know that there are, you know, millions of jobs right now that are open in cybersecurity. So we've set up a program, one, to bring in interns. We actually have an intern right now, which is going through cybersecurity training. Believe it or not, they're in high school. Wow. So that's a great start. We also bring in people from our service desk. We just set up a program to begin to bring some of the people in the service desk to take on some of the access management duties. So they actually get a foot and they can say, okay, do I like information security? Do I like what I'm doing? And they can begin experiencing that. We've actually brought in a couple people into the team internally from the service desk and trained them up. And then in addition, there is a person on my team who is very competent. Right now I'm training to learn how to do the CISO role. I don't obviously know if eventually they're going to take my role, if they're going to do it at another company, how that's going to operate. I don't know that yet, but I've been doing that at several other companies where I've been the CISO. I've always trained a successor. And I feel that's very important because that, you know, one, the fact is then it allows me to go on vacation. So that's the personal piece, but also, you know, it gets back to the community. I mean, we should be training people in information security. There's a, you know, big demand right now for that. And there's not enough people.
Absolutely. We have a scholarship that we're doing twice a year for young women in cyber. And, you know, we have 17 to 21 year old applications and our winners get to do some internships at cool places. And I'm with you. I mean, there's probably a half a million job openings in cyber in the US alone, and it's only going to get worse if we don't do something about it. One other thing, do you have time to do one-on-ones with your team? And can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So I do one-on-ones with my team, and I will not cancel a one-on-one unless they ask me to cancel it. So, I mean, it's really their time. And part of that is that I want to work on development plans with them so that, you know, I can move them into other roles. Talking about that, I've got a very talented analyst on my team who I'm pushing right now to get a CISSP. They were not, you know, kind of not going in that direction, but I said, okay, you know, as part of your career development, really, you need to go that direction. And I've done that for years, you know, pushing their development, keeping them current with what's going on in this entire area. One-on-ones are particularly important. Understanding the current market, you know, how that's operating. Colorado is easy to understand that market because the salaries are actually posted in job postings. So we have an idea of where people stand. And understanding that is really important to, you know, retaining people within the environment. And in addition, keeping them interested. One of the other effects of that awareness program that I talked about is the fact that now, you know, my whole team is taking on reports from these attorneys, which as in before, the attorneys might not have reported anything into them. Now they've got this kind of one-on-one relationship back to the business. And the business now kind of understands what's going on in my team too.
That's great. And what you said for your potential successor, I mean, you're building a co-pilot program. You've got someone to cover your back and someone who might want to take the stick and fly the plane at some point, but you can trust them to do it while you're both in different levels in the organization. That's really wonderful. I think, you know, we always talk about BCP and DRP, but are we doing it on a human factor level? I think that's so important. And that's great advice to your peers to consider the same kind of program. Is there anything else, anything we didn't cover that you'd want to share with our viewers and listeners?
The one thing, it's kind of funny, that I've been looking at in terms of security has to do with, and I've got a really good environment at Holland & Hart, has to do with burnout, which happens in our environment. And that really has to do with one, typically low funding in some programs. My program, I have to admit, is well-funded. I've got good management support. And it's an area that I've been looking at across our industry right now, because I began asking, you know, why do these CISOs sometimes just quit? And so I've been heavily looking at burnout, and it's an area that I wanted to explore a lot deeper right now in our industry to understand, because we've got a lot of really talented people, and I have seen people that just, I mean, they just quit. They stopped doing this. And I understand why. It's because it's a very hard area to be in. You're always online like 24/7. Sometimes you don't have backup. You know, you've just heard that I really try to work to get backup, you know, so I'm training my successor. I'm training other people to keep me, you know, basically so I can actually take a vacation. But when I look at, this is one of those areas that really is confronting an industry and we really need to take a really hard look at.
Well, you know, they talk about first responders getting PTSD and, you know, those in the military because they've been through hell. A lot of people don't realize that you are a cyber first responder and you're defending and protecting a business from incredible risk, the risk of downtime, the risk of going out of business, the risk of reputation damage, the risk of a horrible breach, the costs related to that. And it's kind of sometimes thankless. So I think on this journey to figure it out, I mean, I'm with you. Cybersecurity is slowly becoming in the forefront of everyone's mind, finally. And, you know, the SEC is doing something about it. I don't know if they're doing it right yet, but they're pushing for public companies to have folks like yourself and myself, you know, people who understand cybersecurity, but can also speak business language, to sit as an outside director, an independent director, and work with the CISO. You think that's a good start to help on that area?
Yeah, I think that's a fantastic start. And then when you look at GDPR too, I mean, that's really in the privacy role, but, you know, they basically put a stance that if you have to have a privacy officer in your organization, you can't just fire them because you don't like what they're saying. I mean, you really have to have, you know, actual just cause. And so, you know, you see that movement in Europe, and then you also see the movement, just like you mentioned, to have people come in on boards that actually have cyber experience. And I think it's, you know, when I look, that industry is changing in that direction. And I think it's a good, it's a positive move.
Yeah, and you know, what's really interesting, you don't hear this typically in the news, when there's been breaches like TJ Maxx or Target, you know, the reputational damage may last for years, but if you ask the actual original team that was there during the breach, which nobody expected an HVAC system to be, right, you know, exploited to get at credit cards, they learned a lot. All those team members are now working at other places doing tremendous work, but they, you know, they don't get a lot of credit for what they do because they were there when the breach happened. And I think we all have to get used to the fact that breaches are happening every day. It's a question of, do you know, and how bad is it?
Yeah. And you made a good point earlier that you follow that trail of money, that, you know, one of the reasons why that we're seeing people get through defenses is because they're incentivized to make money off of this. And so if you're getting paid, if this is your day job, of course, you know, you're going to continue working on defenses. You may find a company that, you know, has worse defenses than others, but eventually somebody's going to try to get through if you've got, you know, anything that's worth holding within your company.
You got it. And Hall & Hart does, a great law firm with a lot of intellectual property and a lot of legal work that needs to remain confidential for clients, and a lot of intelligent information and data that you've got to defend, which you're doing every day. And I want to thank you for that. And a wonderful hot seat interview.
Well, thank you. Yeah, thank you for having me today.
So Joe McComb is the Chief Information Security Officer of Hall & Hart. It's HollandHart.com. Check out the website.
You've been listening to Cyber Defense Radio. Stay tuned next time for another amazing and informative episode. CyberDefenseRadio.com is proudly part of the Cyber Defense Media Group, where InfoSec knowledge is power.
Cyber Defense TV and Cyber Defense Radio have launched 24/7/365 live streams. Visit them online today at cyberdefense.tv and cyberdefense.radio. With your host and globally recognized cybersecurity expert and my good friend, Gary Milewski.